Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about the shutting down of the Islamic Center of England. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, dear viewers, to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are here in the studio talking about the shutting down of the Islamic Center of England. In order to discuss some of the issues revolving this shutting down of the Islamic Center of England, we have humbly decided to invite Sheikh Mustafa Araki and Sheikh Ali Kumi. Let's go ahead, invite them, and start the talk show. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Mustafa Araki. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. I'm very happy to be with you.
Sheikh Mustafa, it's so nice to have you here. I believe the first time on the Islamic Pulse talk show. It is an honor, and thank you for taking time out and joining us on today's talk show.
It's a pleasure for me to be with you, inshallah. I hope that we're going to have a good conversation in this regard.
Inshallah. Thank you. Sheikh Ali Kumi, assalamu alaikum, and welcome also to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
And once again, thank you, Sheikh Ali Kumi, also taking time out. Of course, we find that this issue of the shutting down of the Islamic Center of England is quite a serious thing. It is something that has made a lot of headlines across the news. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about these issues and some of the issues revolving around, of course, this shutting down of the Islamic Center of England. Sheikh Mustafa Araki, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. If you could give us a little bit of a background on the Islamic Center of England, you know, perhaps what the original vision was behind the founding of this Islamic Center of England, the founder, for example, and how has it progressed forward that we see over the years, in the name of Allah?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآل الطيبين الطاهرين. The Islamic Center of England, as you should probably know, was established in year 1998 by Ayatollah Araki. My father was originally in London in 1995, and he was there as a religious minister. And according to the relations and the activities that he had in London, he felt the demand for establishing an Islamic center that could basically meet the needs of the British community in general in London, and especially the Muslims and in specific the Shia community there in London. And alhamdulillah, by the will of Allah, he managed to establish this very beautiful center in 1998. And I remember that in the opening ceremony of this center, there were people from all the faith and all from different ethnic backgrounds. And alhamdulillah, I remember that even the Christians used to attend the programs in the Islamic center. And it was a center that was meeting the needs not only of the Muslims, but also the people, the British from all other ethnic backgrounds as well. Even the Sunni brothers, they used to attend the programs of the Islamic Center. I remember in the holy month of Ramadan that I was maybe about, was only a youth at that time. We had the Sunni brothers attending the Islamic Center, holding the Taraweeh prayer at the midnight. And we used to, they used to join us at our suhoor as well at the time.
MashaAllah.
And even at the time of Iftar, I remember that the school kids, when they used to finish their school, because at the time, the Maghrib time was about 4:15. The schools from the kids used to come out of the school and come straight to the Islamic Center and join us with iftar.
MashaAllah.
And the different activities that the Islamic Center has been running from the beginning of its establishment until now, it shows the entity and the purpose of this Islamic Center. The,
sure.
The marriage counseling, the youth counseling, the activities and the services that it has been giving to the British community, the Sunni community, the Shia community there, it is a sort of a manifest of the Islamic Center's entity and the purpose of its establishment, which is very clear for all the people if they go and follow up
MashaAllah.
This activity that has been running. People from all the ethnic background, they used to come. Even I remember that at the time, there was one year, the Christmas Eve, that the Islamic Center, they spread, they gave out congratulation cards to the neighboring community of the Christians, and they invited them to come and see the St. Marian's film that was basically made by the Iranian director in Iran, and they all came and they were very shocked to see that, for example, a film that depicts the life of Saint Maryam and Prophet Jesus alayhi salam has been made by the Islamic Center or has been made by the Islamic Revolution, and is being basically shown at the Islamic Center. And they felt a sort of attachment with the Islamic Center. They thought that this center belonged to them as well, because it is meeting the needs and going towards the values of the Christians as well. So
this community,
the British community in general. So this center, I think, if you look into the history of the activities that this center has been running, it's a center for giving services and serving the British community in general, whether it is a Muslim, whether there are Christians, whether they are Sunni Muslim or a Shia Muslim.
Right.
This is something very apparent.
Right, Jazakallah. You know, it's interesting, Sheikh Mustafa, because I was looking at the website, and I really encourage, you know, the viewers out there to go and check out the website of the Islamic Center of England, and a very active charitable organization. Religious programs, cultural programs, as you said, a lot of counseling for in the marriage field, youth counseling, you know, educational things that they have, activities, and then they have this, a lot of interfaith dialogue as well that's going on, programs, conferences. I mean, mashallah, very active member of the British community. You know, Sheikh Ali, I wanted to kind of bring you in now into the discussion, right? Some of the things that we have seen online as far as why this the Islamic Center of England has come under the, you know, negative limelight, to say the least. You know, for example, poor governance, or this idea that the Islamic Center of England was not protecting the charitable interests of the people, the charity assets, and a lot of vague things like this is what has been put out there. Do you feel that these are the actual reasons why they have kind of clamped down upon the Islamic Center of England, or perhaps are there other reasons?
Sure. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Well, you know, we understand that Islamic Center in England, it holds a very symbolic value for the local Muslim population living there at large, and especially the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the Shia population. And it has been very central place of worship. It's been a central place of community building, you know, and relationships, and, you know, different gatherings that were, as pointed out by Sheikh Mustafa here, they were, you know, commemorating different wilada, shahada, you know, different occasions, which are religious occasions, social occasions, you know, and mentoring. And so it was very, you know, symbolic in the entire England, right?
Right, and as almost a pivotal figure in England for the Muslims and the community.
If you look at
all
these community centers, you know, there are multiple community centers. This is not the only one, right? Now, it being targeted, you know, it's something very bizarre. Honestly, like, if you look at it, it's very disturbing for especially the local community living there. You know, just imagine you going to a mosque every day and all of a sudden you know that its doors are shut for you now.
But where your family
you can't
goes,
even pray.
Where your kids go, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. They grew up there, you know, many of these brothers that we have talked to, you know, they grew up there, right? They're the children of this Islamic Center, right? And now they can't even access the building and hold their commemoration. So what exactly is going on, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's just a compliance issue, you know, with some insurance or whatever, right? Yeah. Or is it more than that?
Right.
Well, as I see it, you know, hundreds of people attending it on weekly basis, if not daily, it seems to be very difficult to conclude that it's just a compliance issue with something, you know, local,
trivial.
The charity commission compliance or whatever, right? So what is going on? You know, this is where the analysis is required, and, you know, we welcome everyone to inshallah start thinking about the reasons and the causes, what may have triggered it, right? As I was kind of looking into the issue, and after my discussion with several people, right, it turns out to be that, you know, the Islamic Center of England is known to have a very clear position when it comes to the system of Wilayatul Faqih.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Right? The system, the Islamic system of Wilayatul Faqih, when it comes to Islamic Center, it subscribes to it. And it's not a news, right? It's not something that's hidden
or underground.
Right? It's not behind the door type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's been from day one, from the time Ayatollah Araki, you know, established the place, it has been like this. So this, you know, fact that the Islamic Center subscribes to the system of Wilayat al-Faqih has been bothering and must have been bothering the satanic powers of the world.
Mm-hmm. And that too, when a community is so active, or the center is so active,
it's
within
vibrant.
The community, is vibrant, is bringing these different services to the community in general, is doing interfaith dialogue, and it also applies to the Wilayat al-Faqih system, then of course, yeah.
See, the influence of this community and this Islamic center and people attached to this Islamic center in the local population is not a surprise for everyone or anyone, right? Everybody knows that these people are working professionals. For instance, they have businesses, right? So they're mingling with others. So Islam is actually being spread. You know, the pure Muhammadan Islam is being preached, right? Through different ideas. So this was something, and this should have been something that would bother those who don't want the pure Muhammadan Islam to spread.
Can I make point, if you don't mind? As you all know, probably, that the Islamic Center is an official charity organization registered in the UK government. So it has been recognized by the UK government as a charity organization. And according to its constitution, it is allowed to run all these activities. Even holding that such sort of opinion, there is no problem with it, according to the British law.
Right.
So if they penalize the Islamic Center for holding such position, is something against their own law and according to their own regulations.
Exactly.
So Islamic Center has been running all these years according to the consent and the approval that was given to it by the British government. And even now, if anybody claims that the Islamic Center has been gone astray or has been done anything illegal against its constitution, they should bring a proper proof for that.
Right.
Not saying just
right.
mentioning just general and vague statements with disregard, and that's
right.
That's not
so this whole, you know,
well I wanted to say this brings up this idea, for example, and I wanted to ask the question a little bit later on about freedom of speech, where it seems like the freedom of speech that the UK government has given to the people has actually backfired on them. Where you gave the freedom of speech to the people, it was fine, it was in the constitution, it was acceptable to the government, and now when, you know, it doesn't conform with whatever rules or whatever, you know, perceived status quo, then you come down and you crack down on the...
Well, the duplicity of the West and hypocrisy of the West, it's, I think, very known to everyone in today's time and age. Anybody who is informed, they know, you know, how sincere and loyal and committed they are to these so-called slogans. But like you said, we'll discuss that a little bit later.
No,
in the
I have a very good example for this with regards to the talk of the Hava. I remember at the time of my father, you know, every year the Supreme Leader, he delivers a message for the Hujjaj in Hajj. For example, this year we are close to the time of Hajj. Allah Khamenei will deliver a speech or a message for the Hujjaj. At the time when my father was in charge of the Islamic Center, when Ayatollah Khamenei delivered that message, the people in charge of the Islamic Center, they spoke and they made some arrangement with some of the newspapers in the UK, The Guardian, The Times, to publish the message of Ayatollah Khamenei in one of these newspapers. None of the newspapers accepted to publish it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, in a country where they claim to have the freedom of speech, not publishing the speech of a supreme spiritual leader doesn't make sense. Mm. So what they decided was that to publish it, they asked one of the very famous newspapers, I think it was The Guardian, to publish it in the adverts section, in the advertisement section, and they paid some money for it. And when they saw the money, they actually did publish it. And they managed to publish the message of Ayatollah Khamenei in that newspaper. But the next month we heard that this newspaper was fined for publishing the message of this spiritual supreme leader. And this is something that we, you know, at the end of the day, you see that the freedom of speech is just a hollow slogan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sheikh Ali, I want to go ahead and just, because I know we wanted to leave it a little bit later, but we've already stumbled into it. This very apparent hypocrisy, especially when you see this aspect of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, for example, which we haven't even talked, we're still on this basic surface level freedom of speech, you know, that this duplicity of the West, or at least here in the United Kingdom, right, when it comes to freedom of speech. So it almost seems like you can say whatever you want as long as it is what the government wants you to say, if you'd like to comment on that.
Well, yeah, I think this whole freedom of speech thing, like I said, we have to understand, like, you know, what relevance it has with what we're discussing right now. So the first point is, what type of religion, what type of religious narrative you subscribe to? Sure. Now, my question is it the job of any government, not just the UK government, to tell people what your religious beliefs should be?
Good point.
Right?
Is it the job of the government to tell people
what
they can
believe? This is out of the jurisdiction of a government,
especially a secular government.
Of any government, especially a secular government.
Is the government to decide who the people want to commemorate for.
Right. Mm.
Exactly.
And this whole Wilayatul Faqih, right, this has been a problem, you know, that this commemoration and this remembrance and this talk about the vision of Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi, the vision of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Hafizahullah, this has been bothering the authorities, not just in UK, let me say this, you know, everywhere in the world. Why? Because this Islam stands up for the rights of the oppressed. It does qiyam against those who are violating the human sanctity. It does qiyam against those who are actually abusing the masses, right? So now, naturally, the authorities and the powers anywhere, again, not specific to UK, they're going to have problem with it, right? So this is the first behind the scenes reason as I see it. Out of like four or five reasons I've put
together.
Well,
I wanted to come back because I had cut you off when you were speaking about the reasons. Is the Wilayatul Faqih, or adhering to the Wilayatul Faqih concept or ideology, is this the only reason? Or as you're about to tell us, I think that there's other reasons.
Yeah, I think if you look at the stand and the position that the Islamic Center and the local community, you know, Islamic Center is nothing but the community members, right? Sure. The local community has taken in terms of Palestine. We all know that the collective West is determined and is standing behind the Zionist regime and supporting the Zionist regime under any circumstances, no matter what the price be. This has been very consistent policy of the collective West, right? Yes. Now, Islamic Center and its attendees, they have been, you know, making noise in support of Palestine. Not just today, not just last week, you know, for years. And this is something that has been bothering the Zionists. And we know how the Zionist lobbies work. Let it be in America, let it be in UK. So the pressure groups, yeah, they are making
their influence. Exactly, you could see the footprints of the Zionists in all these
exactly.
circumstances.
The footprint is all too visible, right?
Yeah.
This is some of the things that have been said, that this is politically motivated, which is something
exactly.
you're alluding to.
Exactly.
Over here.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely and 100% politically motivated. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense where I started to shut down a place of worship of hundreds of people. The footfall, you look at, you know, how many people attend, not just in Ramadan and Muharram, you know, throughout the year, right? This is something, it has to be something more than just a compliance issue, right?
Right.
So you look at this anti-Zionist and pro-Palestine rhetoric that the Islamic Center has been carrying, not just carrying, but promoting. Mm-hmm. And that narrative is spreading. Let me tell you this, amongst the youth, amongst the young ones, and this has been bothering the authorities, mm-hmm. right? Especially those who are affiliated or on the payroll of the Zionists, mm-hmm. right? This is the second reason I see that.
It's one of the largest Al-Quds rallies that you find in England. Exactly. Is really, you know, sponsored, helped, and it is. I guess it's rallied by the Islamic Center of England. They have.
I don't know about the details. What level of
sure,
involvement
sure.
they have in terms of sponsoring and all that.
Sure.
But what I know for sure is that yes, they do attend it. They do promote it,
sure.
and you know they're part of it.
And the Muslim community, because you know I always attend Tabligh at the time of the Ramadan and Muharram. I know, I'm in touch with the British community, especially the Muslims there. They are all so much, they have so much passion for the Palestinian people, and they are so willing to attend these sort of marches. When I was in this Ramadan, I was in Newcastle. When I mentioned this, that there is a march being held in London, all the people were so willing to come. And you know, the distance from Newcastle to London is at least 6 hours by car, and we managed to take a whole van from the people of Newcastle. They attended, and alhamdulillah, it was a very, very passionate trip for us.
Because it is a very humanitarian cause, to say the least. Mm-hmm. It is an Islamic responsibility of every Muslim, and especially the followers of Ahlul Bayt and subscribers of Wilaya. It holds a very ideological position in our worldview and in our aqaid, in our belief system, right? So the people, naturally, they are getting on board in terms of supporting the Palestine and Palestinian people and the freedom of Al-Aqsa Mosque and Al-Quds at the hands of the Zionists, and they're against the Zionists. So this anti-Zionist mentality and attitude is growing, right? In the collective West, more so in US and UK, right? Back in the day when I was in the US too, there were issues that were surrounding Al-Quds, right, by the authorities. Now the question is, there's so many other issues, your domestic issues to all the way to international issues. What is it for you that this rally is taking place, a peaceful rally, people come out, you know, they chant some slogans, that too on a day that is, generally speaking, in the Western countries, they do it on a Sunday or something, right, which is a day off. I think in UK too, they do it on Sunday, right? They're printing, like, you know, these slogans which are very, you know, humanitarian in nature and so on and so forth. And what problem do you have with it?
Let me make one thing very clear. The Islamic Center itself is not holding this march. It is the people who are attending the Islamic Center who are organizing this march.
It's a collective effort, right?
It's a collective of the community. The Islamic Center itself is not directly involved in holding the march, but the people who attend it, the Islamic Center is encouraging. That's obvious, because the Islamic Center is their hub.
It's a religious responsibility anyways, right? So even if Islamic Center is holding it, is it something illegal?
Of course, this is not the question.
Of course it is not.
You should be posing there that what's going on. Do you claim the freedom of speech? Can the people, the community, the British community who hold British passport, can they express their opinions?
See, this is where it's all going to. What they want is, they want to control everything, every single thing about you. They want to control your thoughts. They want to control your belief. They want to control what you educate to your children. You know, look what happened in Germany, right? Sure. The person said to his own son that homosexuality is not good, you know, in the eyes of Islam. You all saw, like, the videos went viral. They want to control everything and anything that you can potentially think, not even do, right? And, you know, we're not saying that somebody who is doing anything illegal, they should be let off the hook in the name of some sort of freedom. Not. No, right. We're not saying that. But there is a due process. If you have a problem with something, you need to bring the proof and take the person to trial. You cannot punish an entire community. You cannot punish Islamic centers, you know, just because you think you can do it and you have power, and just because you don't agree with their narrative, right?
What is worrying, brother, I'm sorry to cut you talk, is that if the Muslim community don't stand here behind the Islamic Center in support of the Islamic Center, there is a fear of having this situation happen in other centers as well. Currently, the UK government is running some laws for the education of the kids to abandon the Islamic values in educating the kids. If this direction, if this move is continued by the British government, I'm afraid in the future we can be witnessing that the Muslims, they're not even able to claim to be Muslim in the Muslim in the British government, in the British community, British society, and this is very, very dangerous. It is dangerous for all the values that the UK government stands for. If they
claims to stand for,
they claim democracy, they claim freedom of speech. All these are undermined by what is happening now to the Islamic Center. This is a very, very important point to note.
You know, Sheikh Ali, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that idea. You know, that so sometimes, for example, and I just want to focus on the question, not on the variables around it, but this idea that, you know, for example, a regular, you know, British person who's a non-Muslim, they'll say, this is none of my business, right? This is a Muslim center, and then perhaps some Muslims will say that this is just a Shia center. I mean, really, is this what we're talking about? Are we talking about just one, very small segment of the overall population? Or is this perhaps a spark to a fire that can spread and spread, if you'd like to comment?
Well, it depends on the people, right? If you side with truth and justice, if you are going to be supporting Palestine, if you're going to be supporting the Yemen, if you're going to be supporting, the people of Syria and Iraq, right? And if you're going to be supporting your right to self-determine,
right?
Yes. Then they're going to come after you, no matter what you name your center.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what kind of management you have.
Whether you're Muslim or Christian, right? Exactly.
What they want from you is, anybody who's living in the UK, as we're discussing right now, they want from you is to work within the four walls that they define for you.
It's like a slave in the modern day.
Exactly.
Nothing else.
This
Not
is
only
modern
a
day
physical
slavery.
Slave, but a mental, psychological, spiritual slave,
right?
As well.
So the only chance that you stand is to unite. Right? Don't look at it as, this is this one center, the people of this marja, who follow this marja, go to that center. It's not about marja'iyah, it's about Islam. It's about a mosque, it's about a masjid. Masjid is the house of Allah. It's not Sunni or Shia masjid, it's not a this marja masjid or that marja masjid. At the end of the day, they have put their hands on a Shia masjid,
a house of
Islamic
worship.
Masjid. Yeah. A Muslim masjid, right? A place of worship. So your job is to unite and stand and say, no, you cannot just lay your hands. Again, we're not saying that if there's any discrepancy or problem, it doesn't get solved. No. The rules of the country actually are marja'iyah.
According to the command of the Holy Quran, which Allah says in the Holy Quran, لَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. It is the duty of every single Muslim to make sure that the high hand of the non-Muslims should not come on the mosques, on the saint places of the Muslims.
You have to protect it.
You have to protect it.
It is your duty, right? So this is where the only chance to stand is to unite and say, if there is any issue, then the due process can be followed, the issue can be resolved. But the masjid should be open, the Husseiniyah should be open. This is where we do azadari of Hazrat Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salatu wassalam. How are we going to go and face Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha and say that, we let this place shut down in front of our eyes and we didn't even flinch? We didn't even bother to go and, be part of the protest. How in the world are you going to be answerable to Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, right? So this is your responsibility and this is a trial and test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He provides us opportunity to grow in all matters, especially spiritual growth. This is, as I see it, as a humble student, this is your opportunity to grow. This is your opportunity to prove that, yes, I am with Islam, I am with Tashayyu, I am with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You do your role, you play your part, right?
Sure.
But to be on the sideline, being indifferent,
being silent, right.
Pretending to be neutral or thinking that you're neutral, this is not going to solve the issue. Today is the Islamic Center of England. Tomorrow it's going to be another Islamic center.
And then it's going to be a Christian church. And then it's going to be, the line.
What they want, Sayyid, what they want in
the
UK.
This is what's.
What they want in the UK is for the British Shiaism to flourish. What is British Shiaism?
And they want their own Shia version to be. Announced there, yeah.
Exactly.
And this is one of the things that in the research comes up. It says the government-enforced version of Islam. Go ahead, continue.
This British Shiaism, we have to understand what it is. This is a phenomena that your actions, your beliefs, your worldview, at the end of the day, benefits the enemies of Islam.
Sure.
Let it be through sectarianism or otherwise. Let it be through your silence even. If it benefits the enemies of Islam, enemies of Muslims, enemies of humanities, and let me say it, the Takfiri Wahhabis, if it's going to benefit the British government, if it's going to benefit the American government, the great Satan, right? If it's going to benefit Israel's agenda in the region, then that is British Shiaism. They want that to flourish. This is what something every mu'min, every believer, every Muslim needs to open up their eyes to. This is a reality.
It's interesting because I'm pretty sure that the British Shia movement, these guys, they have an established place in the United Kingdom, right? Right?
Yeah,
so they do.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't go and shut down the British Shia guys.
Allow me to say, they're housed in UK. This is their breeding place.
Yeah, continue. Yeah.
This whole concept.
That they didn't shut those guys down.
Of course they won't.
They're pretty militant, you know what I mean, if you look at their videos. But they haven't shut them down. And Here you shut down a community center, which is actually providing community services
to the community.
Not just to Muslims, but non-Muslims as well in their community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is basically shutting down a place which can be and is an alternative and is a viable alternative to that British Shiaism, that British brand of Islam, right? But they want that to be pushed. Mm. Right, so this is something we need to be very clear about. And like I said, you know, anybody can agree or disagree with these things because sure. Many of these things are analytical. But this is how we see it. Mm-hmm. This is what they're trying to do. At the end of the day, it's not a compliance issue. It's not about the last reason I kind of want to mention.
Well, there was something that I had in mind too, and that was this idea. So across the research, right, you find that in certain places, it has been written that the assassination of Shahid Qasem Soleimani in 2020, there was a vigil that was held at the Islamic Center of England, and this was where the original, somebody had a problem with that night vigil, and that has now 2-3 years down the line has brought more and more pressure on this. I don't know if that was one of the reasons that you were gonna bring up or not, but I think this is something that needs to be spoken about.
Well, there are, like I said, there are different excuses they can come up with, right? What problem do they have with, again, Shahid Qasem Soleimani and Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, right? The problem is that they eradicated Daesh.
Right.
They eradicated ISIS, the Islamic State, right?
And this is proof, evidence.
This is something that everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
And for the records, the creation of Daesh, creation of ISIS, their funding, their immunity that was provided to them, their growth, their development, their taking care of like diplomatically, everything was the responsibility and a big project of the United States of America.
Yeah.
This is where they threw the most funding. It was the biggest terrorist organization of the world.
Yes.
Right? Officially, right? Now, who demolished it? Who destroyed it? With the help of the locals of, you know, Syria and Iraq and other places, it was Haj Qasem and Haj Abu Mahdi Muhandis. So now, of course, if it's
one,
your...
One Iraqi general and one an Iranian general.
Well, we don't believe in Iraqi, Iranian, Lebanese and this general. They're generals of Islam. They're generals of Islam. Anybody who stands up for the rights of the oppressed, they are our generals, whoever they are. We don't care what sect they come from.
They call Haj Qasem Soleimani commander of the hearts.
He's the commander of the hearts. And you saw it in his funeral, right? So they actually failed, these great personalities. They failed the most expensive project of the United States of America in the region. Mm. So of course America is angry.
Yes.
Of course Trump is angry, right? Of course the establishment in America, they're angry. So
the
what do they do?
West is angry.
What do they do? They go around not just, you know, kill and make him a martyr.
Which, by the way, was illegal according to the United Nations Special Rapporteur, Dr. Agnes Callamard. She wrote a whole report on this, how she said that under international law, this was a illegal assassination upon Haj Qasem Soleimani. I wanted to make sure that that is known.
So,
yeah.
What did they do? So they assassinated him, and not just that. They want nobody to say his name. But they don't understand this phenomena.
Of shahadat and martyrdom.
He was the commander of the hearts. People know what he did for them. People know.
It's interesting that the very famous statement by the Supreme Leader was made that the Shahid Qasem Soleimani is more dangerous for the Westerners than Sardar Qasem or General Soleimani. And this is something exactly pointing to this issue.
Why? Because
our whole strength is in our values and
because Qasem Soleimani personified Islam's defense of the oppressed.
Yes.
He was the manifestation of that. Mm. And that gives inspiration to others
to stand up
against injustice and oppression.
He was the commander of the Quds military, which is basically, I told you that you can see the footprints of the Zionists in all these issues that are unfolding.
So they
there.
Don't want anyone talking about
exactly.
it. They want everybody to be hush-hush. Mm. How unfair it is. First, they come and illegally assassinate the commander of another country, As we said, Commander of Islam, in a third country where he was on a diplomatic mission with the permission and the invitation of that country, namely Iraq, they kill him, and then they don't want anybody to condemn this crime. How ugly it is.
Well, Sheikh Mustafa, I want to kind of bring you in this idea, and we had talked earlier about this whole, freedom of speech and things like that, right? So this idea that it is, and like we said, it's not illegal to commemorate the Shahadat and the martyrdom or, the ideals represented by, Shahid Hash Qasim Soleimani. But here, and we talked about this, how hypocritical is it, that, a night vigil is held in commemoration of the martyrdom of these two individuals, and then this becomes a segue, to either shut down the center or to start animosities on their behalf.
Exactly. This is what we mean when we say that the Westerners, when they claim to have freedom of speech, it's all hypocrisy. It doesn't make sense for us because, as I said, Shaykh Qasim Soleimani is a personification of our values, Islamic values. As the brother very rightly mentioned, that he is the symbol of Islamic resistance in this region. So what the crime of this person? He was just defending the Muslims and the innocents in the region against those tyrants who were slaughtering the Muslims. This is his crime. And he was basically fighting against the evil plans of the superpowers in this region, especially the plans that they were intending to basically expand the influence of the Zionists in the region. This is what General Qasim Soleimani managed to do. He managed to abandon the influence of the Zionists in the region, and they ended up assassinating this holy general. And the people in the West, the Muslims who want to express their feelings towards this holy man, this religious man, the man who stood for his values, and they end up shutting down their community centers, a center like the Islamic Center. This is something that we cannot take. This is something that we cannot accept to happen in a country, in a city that they claim to have freedom of speech. Right. So I think it is the duty of every single Muslim, every single Shia, in the UK country, in the British country, to stand in support of the Islamic Center. If they don't, they should note that if they don't stand today for their values, for their religion, tomorrow they're going to be losing all their values, and the British will come to the point where they cannot even mention that they are Muslim living in this country. This is very important.
Yeah. This is time for you to defend your identity, defend your beliefs, defend your worldview, and defend your allegiance, And I think this is where it's, as a brother said, you have to stand up for your rights, you have to stand up for your values and your stances and your positions, And you do it, in an organized manner. It doesn't, of course, we're not calling for any violent actions. No, you follow the due process, right? Yeah. And you show the resistance by your presence. Your presence, actually, a lot of our people, unfortunately, they don't understand what their presence entails. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he says, Huzur dar sahne, right? Your presence in the ground, in the arena. This has a lot of impact and influence. And this is what our brothers and sisters out there need to understand, right? Especially the influential people in the community. Your doctor, your lawyer, for instance, you're a teacher, right? You're any other trader, let's say you're a business owner, right? Your presence is going to make a huge difference. It is going to give a lot of support to the community. And those who may have, ill wish towards the Islamic Center, and they want to shut it down, and they want to stop it from operating, it will be a deterrent factor for them. Your presence is going to be a variable that can change things, right? And by the way, I know that you all know about this, Tawabin, right? They acted, but they acted late. They did not act it in time, right? They, if they would have supported Imam Hussein alayhi salam, just by their presence, they probably, many of them may not even have to give their lives for that, But then later on, they ended up giving their lives, but their lives did not bear any fruit for for the Islamic community and the Islamic movement and so on and so forth. Sure. So this is, acting on time is very important. And all we're calling for and asking for is your presence. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You just be present in the arena, get connected to the local scholars over there. Alhamdulillah, there are enough people, enough seniors, enough scholars over there. Get guidance from them. Be their support, be present, so they can make the right decisions. When they see all the support, of course they can make the right decisions, inshallah. And this issue will be resolved sooner or later. Inshallah. We all know that, inshallah. Right? Sure. This is going to be resolved. The question is, what your role is in this whole
critical time, yes. Right?
And this is something, we invite everyone towards, in a peaceful manner, in a friendly manner, things can be resolved. Trust me, the Zionists and the imperialists are not as strong as we assume them to be. Mm. They're not, right? They're just creating this fluff, right?
Yeah.
Spreading Islamophobia, Shia phobia, Iranophobia, name them, Hezbollah phobia, IRGZophobia, Vilayat al-Faqih phobia. You know their tricks.
They've just got a factory of phobia making.
Exactly, right? So all you need to do is just unite, be together, right? The Muslims, the Shias, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, in the name of Ahlul Bayt.
And even bring the non-Muslim community. Right?
They will come, and there are some.
But if we unite first.
Yes, but your presence, you are very critical to the movement at the right time, inshallah. And we hope after this discussion, inshallah, they will be encouraged to be with the Islamic Center, defend your place of worship, defend your masjid, inshallah, and make Ahlul Bayt proud of yourself. This is your opportunity, right? There were other things that I had to mention, but inshallah,
we leave it for another day. I guess my last point on the subject is interesting that the Puritans back in the, before America was founded, so the Puritans were actually British who fled the United Kingdom for religious freedom. So how strange that, well over 200 years later, that United Kingdom, which did not allow religious freedom in its country, is the same United Kingdom in 2023, continues to not provide religious freedom to its citizens. Very unfortunate. Sheikh Ali Qomi, I want to thank you so much for taking time out, Jazakallah Khair, and joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Sheikh Mustafa Araki, I want to thank you again, and hopefully it's not the last time that you will join us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show, inshallah. Dear viewers, thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about the various issues revolving around the shutting down of the Islamic Center of England. Inshallah, as we had said, and as we have said, and as we know, the issue will be resolved in the favor of the Muslim community. Inshallah, we request your prayers. That's all from us. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.